Egg.
The honor of teeing off. If there's a social hierarchy, the most important person goes first.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Here's to the finely tuned athlete on the verge of greatness.
The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Last day of school for a lot of kiddos out there today.
This is it, huh? The
field
final day.
Day was yesterday.
Field day was a great day.
Today's yearbook day.
Oh, great days on the school calendar. Are they not? This is the best week of the year. The last week, you don't really do anything. Everything's wrapped up. You're just heading into the summer.
I loved field day.
Oh, field day was incredible,
loved,
man.
Loved field day.
Maybe the best day of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the best day of the year.
Well, because the weather's usually nice.
Weather's great.
You're outside.
Yep.
It's not in any way serious. There's never anything that you need. Like, the teacher takes roll, and after that, it's over.
Teachers are all unplugged. They're ready for the summer, too. Nobody wants to be there.
And you get to do fun, unique little games and try to win against your buddies.
Yeah, you're just running around in a field playing different stupid games all day. That's it. That's your entire day.
I'll never forget my fifth grade field day. I was telling my kid, I have all these, like, flash memories of elementary school.
You got your little card that they gave you with all the ribbons punched on it. Did you guys get, like, ribbons?
No, I didn't get any ribbons.
Ribbons.
Yeah. Ribbons.
Like,
a set of riggins, these ribbons.
Yeah, like blue ribbons.
I didn't get any ribbons. No.
No. Like
for accomplishing something?
We had, like, races and competition, all that.
Oh, so, I mean, if you won, you got, like, a ribbon, but there wasn't, like...
I don't remember any ribbons, to be honest with you. I don't think we had ribbons.
It was only if you won.
Oh, maybe I didn't win anything.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys got participation trophies in Lake Oswego.
They did those too, yeah.
But we
those
had
purple ribbons.
Fifth grade, I'll remember because
we had
the parachute. We got to do the parachute.
Yeah, the parachute with the foam balls and
God, the parachute was fun.
Parachute was fun. And then they don't do this anymore for obvious reasons, and I'll tell you the reason here in a second.
Ooh.
I'll never forget we did class versus class because there were, let's see, how many at Sacramento? I think Sacramento Elementary had 3 fifth grade classes.
What was the name of your elementary school? Sacramento Elementary School?
Yeah, the Cougars, baby.
What's the point? What's the like the story behind Sacramento?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It was off Sacramento Street.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Northeast Portland. I don't know.
Was like a famous Sacramento that lived in Portland.
I don't know.
It after him.
I never thought about it. Oh, but okay. I went to Sacramento, and we used to have 3 fifth grade classes. Okay, so it'd be or maybe it was 4. Anyways, it was 3 or 4, and we all went against each other in. Red Rover. Do you remember Red Rover?
Vividly remember.
So there
Red
was
Rover.
30 kids lined up. Red Rover, for those that need, you know, a little memory. You hold hands.
You do.
And you stand in a line width-wise, and you say, Red Rover, send Andy right over. And Andy's on the opposite side in his line, and he has to break away, and he's got to run. And your goal is to not let him break through your line.
Yeah, I'm going full speed through those arms.
And if you stop him, you win, and you add him to your line, and they lose, and you're trying to collect the other class on your class.
Yes.
And I'll never forget, they called me up first, send Brandon right over, and I said, that's a mistake.
Oh, how dare you.
In fact, I remember saying in my mind, you little bitch. I was in fifth grade.
I'm going to announce my presence with authority here right out of the gate.
And I ran, and
break
I...
Break some poor little girl's wrist. running.
I broke an arm.
Yeah.
And that game ended, and I'm not saying I single-handedly, but I think a year or two later, I found out that, like, that game
that
doesn't
get played
anymore.
Dodgeball was gone.
You can't do any of that stuff anymore.
Dodgeball got changed from regular their Dodge rubber balls.
They went to smaller balls?
To those, like, foam ones that you can throw, but they kind of move,
and
they're not, they don't hurt at all when they hit you.
I got PE at the, I mean, we did everything.
No, we had the good balls.
Fantastic.
Did you have the good balls?
We had the good balls, but I felt like as we got older, going into high school, that stuff started to slowly get siphoned out.
Yeah, high school is
like
when it started
kinda
changing.
Let's start rolling some of this stuff back here. We can't get away with this anymore.
Other than the square dance, we had a square dance. Dancing unit in PE, and that
we'd never had to do square dancing.
Square dance.
Thank Jesus, we didn't have to do that.
What is the point of teaching us square dancing?
Know.
Yeah, there was a girl in high school, I think sophomore year of high school, that got hit in the face during dodgeball 3 times in the span of like 7 minutes.
And just let her sit out.
One of the times, she was like walking along the bleachers to try to avoid being in the game.
I'm done.
And somebody drilled her in the side of the head, and I think the other head ricocheted off of the bleacher. And I'm pretty sure that's when it was like, you know, I don't know if we should do this anymore. I don't know if this is a good thing.
My moment was, because we had the rubber balls, and I won't name the teacher.
We all picked on the weak, though. If you had a good arm, you immediately picked on the weak.
Well, we didn't actually, I was a bully in dodgeball. We didn't really pick on him. We got him out quick, but we didn't throw it hard at him.
Oh, yeah.
Because it ended up becoming like a me on one side, you on the other, and then that's when it was like...
Now it's Battle Royale
time.
I'm
throwing fast at you, man.
You're not getting one by me.
But I remember telling my PE teacher, I was like, you wish you could be as good as me in this game. And he grabbed one. He said, really spray.
Oh, yeah? Bring it on.
And he grabbed one of those rubber balls.
He light you up?
He threw it so hard, hit me square in the eye, swole my eyes shut. I had to go home for the day. I'll never forget it. He thought it was the funniest thing. And I'm like, I can't even see out of one of my eyes. He's like, well, then don't talk next time.
Don't talk trash. Don't open your mouth. Don't cash checks that or write checks that your mouth can't cash.
He ended up getting fired for exactly the same
reason.
Like 10 years later.
God, we've gotten so soft.
A kid reported him. I'm like, damn, I just went home. I had a half day.
I mean, if you're gonna run your mouth going into that, then you kind of got to accept the consequences there. That's not your fault.
That's what I was always
taught. I'm the one that's talking trash here.
No, that's not how the public school system works anymore.
I'm inviting this upon myself, and so I now have to deal with the consequences of my actions.
You know, I agree with that. I was raised, if you're going to talk and you get punched in the mouth, learn a lesson. Yes, deal with the consequences. And I would argue,
don't talk.
Maybe the school system should go back to that method.
Uh-huh.
You seen our test scores?
Not good, Bob. Not good.
When you're the bottom in this country.
Unfortunately, the lawyers don't see it that way.
The lawyers. Get out of here.
School districts. It
should be illegal for you to sue. Student, your kid's going to get hurt at some point in his life.
I did have a conversation with my niece the other day about, because I was asking her about the last week of school, and she was all excited. She basically said, everything's done. We're not, you know, we're going to like Oaks Park for a day.
The whole week is kind of pointless.
Like, dude, there's literally nothing going on. And I said, God, such a fun week. I remember that last week of school, because everybody's excited for the summer. The weather's great. The morale's great. There's no more homework. Like, everything is just smooth sailing from here on out. And I did give her one of those, like, Billy Madison speeches of, like, enjoy your summers while they last. Right. They only got a few more years. They're going into seventh grade next year. That's not that many summers left. They're limited. And then when they're gone forever unless you become a public school teacher.
I love my youngest so much. Yesterday, we're playing basketball in the driveway after the finals game. And she turns and goes, Dad, how do parents make money in the summer? And I said, I still work.
Yeah, still.
She goes, Oh, you do?
Ooh.
I go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just enjoy your summer, okay? We don't get summers off.
You still got them, okay? Enjoy those. It was always weird for me as a kid, and maybe you were this way too, Swag, but my mom was a high school counselor for 35 years. And so I grew up with the mom who was home every summer.
Yeah.
And so it was always, it never really
she
connected.
She never picked up a job during the
never
summer.
Never did. No, she just would
God
do stuff with
you.
Us. We'd go for hikes. We'd
thing.
Do activities. Yeah. We'd do all sorts of things.
Oh, no. My dad was the summer chauffeur.
Yeah. Where are we going
now
today?
He would have various times where he would like have to go.
Tutor?
No, it was continuing education.
Sure.
You know, so they could move up.
Earn a couple bucks or something on the side?
Well, it was if you had so many hours after your master's degree, you could get a little higher on the union pay scale.
Touché.
So every couple of summers, he would have something where he'd go to Lewis and Clark or whatever.
Sure.
So he'd be gone for a couple of weeks. But no, the caravan to the swim park was Papa Swag.
That's it. Let's go.
But it left at certain times because the only thing I knew about the summer was... when Perry Mason and Star Trek came on Channel 12, he was not to be bothered.
I mean, Perry Mason's an all-time great.
I mean, it's a classic show.
It really
so
is.
So if we wanted to go somewhere, we had to plan it to be done, and he was back home for Perry Mason.
Was that 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock?
No, it was like noon and one.
Oh, was it? Oh, the afternoon.
Right in the middle of the day.
Versions.
Yeah.
So you either got
to
go morning or afternoon.
It was either we need to go at 11 or you're not going anywhere till like 2:30.
Yeah.
Wait until that show's over.
We have a lot of teachers.
Worst sandwich in the world.
Teacher listeners, and a couple of them I've met in person. And I know some of them that do like they've told me during the summers they do odd jobs. They'll pick up pressure washing or painting or something. Sure. And I totally get it. Like, in this economy, man, as many dollars as you can get, totally get it.
Do what you got to do.
I'm being 100% genuine. Unless I was, like, coaching basketball indoors, I would never work in the summer if I was
no,
a teacher.
Never would.
I'd be like, yeah, I'm poor. So
dude,
what?
I don't care. I got 3 months off.
For 3 months.
I don't got to go back to work until August. Dude, I'm good. I'm out.
Where do you live? Studio apartment?
Yeah, it doesn't
barely
matter.
My rent?
No. I'm going to play cheap. I'm gonna find the cheapest golf course imaginable every single day and then do that for my entire
summer.
Be
a member at Glendevere East.
I'll see you out there. $48 for 18 holes. I could do that every day.
Oh, man.
That's a good life right there. Enjoy those summers while you get them, kids. They're going to disappear before you know it.
Seriously.
Unless you become a public school teacher.
You know what's funny is Dirt said something off the air yesterday, and I screamed at him, shut up, shut up. And I got in the car, and I had to take my kid somewhere, and she's getting done with seventh grade, so she's getting ready for eighth. And I go, are you excited? She goes, ah, a little nostalgic, but yeah, I'm ready. And she goes, I'm also sad. I was like, what are you sad about? School? Not seeing so many of your friends? Huh. Summer's almost already over. And Dirt had literally said the same thing yesterday morning.
It's like halfway through June.
And I was
it's
like,
almost done already.
It hasn't even started. Yeah. Shut up. What are you talking about? She's like, I know, but it's the end of June, and then it's going to be July, and then I'll know it's August. And
then,
I'm just like,
and then
oh,
once
my
you get
God.
To August, all of a sudden your mind goes to, well, got to start getting my notebooks and my school outfits planned out. August is basically the Sunday of the summer. Like, it's kind of a weekend.
The Sunday
of
the summer,
It's kind
of
the weekend,
huh?
But you also know it's coming to
wow.
an end. Like, you enjoy your
you
Sundays.
You do get a little sad when you see August on the calendar.
But by the time the evening of Sunday rolls around, you know what?
I don't know how it's delivered
I gotta
now,
get up.
But we used to get it in the mail, your list of school supplies.
Oh, I hated that thing, man. I got so mad.
And then
when
in junior high,
that.
There was a little summer reading or something like that that they say, you know, here's what you need to have.
You know, July's really the only month that, you got because junior in school.
Well, but that's a good way of putting it. August being the Sunday because June is exactly what a Friday is.
Yes.
Half your day you're consumed with a job or school.
Yep.
So you're not getting the full month off.
No, then you get July's your Saturday.
It's definitely your Saturday because you got 4th of July. It's usually when people do stuff.
Vacations.
Yep. And then August, the parents are mentally baked and cooked by this point.
They're ready to get you out of the house
kids
again.
Kids have been in the house every... Mom, Dad, Mom,
it's like,
Mommy.
God, please start again school, please.
You don't want to do daycare, so they're home all day. And yeah, it's definitely the Sunday. That's a very good way of putting it. August is the Sunday of the summer.
And you know, you can feel it. You can sense it in your bones. Like, as the Sunday goes on, you know, I got to get up for work tomorrow. As August goes on, you sense it in your bones, man. School's right around the corner.
Well, I want to say I'm excited for our teachers out there.
Congratulations. You made it.
You made it through another year. You're one step closer to just enjoying your purrs forever and never talking to these children again.
Snot-nosed brats. They're almost out of your life.
Little
for 3 months.
Little twerps, man, running around everywhere, screaming at
you. Getting you sick constantly.
Confrontation, getting sick.
Sneezing on your hands.
Oh, parents emailing, I don't like this book you're making him read. It says sex in it. Yeah. What do you think they're going to do when they're older?
They're not having sex. How dare you?
You're one step closer. Hang in there. We
Hang
need
in there.
You.
Last day.
We need you.
You're almost there.
You do matter. I care about you.
And but you should all be paid more money.
I mean, my God.
Amen.
So, summer's right around the corner. End of the week. It's done for a lot of these kids. All right. We got a busy show today.
We do.
It's not our summer.
No, it's not. We don't get a summer.
I've always argued our industry should be off in July. There's nothing, and people will debate the dumbest of things in July.
Yeah, by the time we get through the NBA draft, then it's, you know, should we debate the home run derby format again? You want to do that? Well, I don't know about the changes they made this year. I still got a little too quick for me.
Let's fix baseball.
That's the annual debate we have every year in July.
Yeah,
All-Star Game and home run derby.
NBA Finals, Jeremy Wu at 8 a.m., we got the Magic Hat to get to at 6:30. It is a loaded and fun show. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going next on The Fan. Well, they always say they come in threes, and if there was a third one, I missed it. But how about Brian Wilson and Sly Stone?
Yeah, that's a hell of a 1-2 punch right
there.
That's
a huge 1-2 punch in the music world.
Speaking of Sly, yeah, we'll have to sneak some Beach Boys in today.
Was there a third? Did I miss a third? Was there another artist that randomly passed?
Mm-hmm.
They always say they're in threes, and they usually are right on that.
It usually tends to happen.
Nothing caught my eye.
Okay. Yeah, nothing else stood out. I heard about this one on Primetime yesterday. They came back and were playing Beach Boys, and I was like, oh, what happened? Oh, and then you realize it was Brian Wilson. Do yourself a favor and go listen to the, and I think you can find it on YouTube or other mm-hmm. places. They have the just acoustic singing only of Beach Boys songs, like they're harmonizing.
Oh,
really? God Only Knows. And I mean, just listen to the vocals alone, and it is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable to listen to.
Music legends, man.
Absolute music legends. I was never the biggest Beach Boys guy, you know?
Really?
I think everybody listened to the Beach Boys at some point.
They're vibey, man.
They're not all over my playlists, you know? They're not up and down there, but remarkable talents and a huge impact on the music industry.
Well, because my music's been overtaken by little tyrants and occasionally my wife and then a mix of me, I like my Apple station, it just says like my name and then you play it. The random songs that come on there. It can be a Disney song. It can be an R&B song.
Some Sabrina Carpenter's popping up on that thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Olivia Rodrigo.
Who's the pony gal? What's her name?
Ronan Chapel.
Yeah. Pink Pony
Chapel
Lady.
Chapel Roan. That comes on. That's a good song. I will fight to the death on that song. That's a good song. Random, like, just absolute rap. And then a Beach Boys song,
and
which
then
is
wouldn't it be nice? Yeah. Oh, okay, all right, that came out of left field. I'm not mad about it, but that came out of left field.
Never get mad at a Beach Boys song. U.S. Open is underway. We'll talk a little bit about that. Magic Hat at the bottom of the hour. So, if Rick Carlisle's going to do this, we're going to look back and say T.J. McConnell, the new J.J. Barea.
Yep.
He's the new J.J. Barea for sure.
He's got to be his new version of J.J. Barea.
He's had already multiple instances of this, too. So in game one, they have that massive comeback. What were they down? 15, came back and won. They were the first team to do that in the NBA final since the Dallas Mavericks did it against the Miami Heat. And then I saw Mathurin last night off of the bench, had the game that he had.
He was unreal.
He had the most points off the bench or whatever the barometer was since Jason Terry in 2011.
Game five?
I think it was game five.
Yeah.
I think so. I remember him going off a couple of times in that series.
Game five was like the holy crap, oh, they're going to do this.
Yeah, when it just all of a sudden you realize, I can't believe this is actually going to happen. And that would, Indiana would fit that bill. I mean, it's Detroit in, what was that, 04 when they beat the Lakers? Am I years right?
Uh-huh.
Dallas in 11.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a couple of these finals in our life, but not a ton where you're like, oh my God, as it goes on. You can't quite put your finger on how this is transpiring, and it's only two games. They still got to win two more. They're only halfway there, but this finals would be in that category for me.
Well, I owe an apology, and I'm here to do it publicly, and I've probably already apologized, but I really need to do it after what happened yesterday. I can't remember the exact year we had. When did we have the NCAA tournament swag when you and I went together? What year was that? 2017, 16?
Yeah, it's got to be around 10 years ago.
Okay, whenever that was,
yep.
Swag and I had primo seats.
We were
on
right
TV
behind
the entire
Reggie and Harlan.
Time.
Yeah, you guys are hanging out right behind the broadcasters.
I wore a pink button up, and I had a real, I wish I wouldn't have worn this freaking shirt.
What was wrong about that?
It was a nice shirt, but I saw myself on Twitter. I was still kind of fat, and I was like,
we were just trying to make sure we weren't picking our nose when the camera.
Very much so.
Yeah. No fingers in nostrils.
But Ohio State was one of the teams that was here, and so was Arizona.
So was Arizona.
And I'll never forget, I turned to Swag. I don't even know if he remembers this.
I do.
We were watching Arizona. McConnell brought the ball up. They scored, timeout. And I think I leaned over and I said something to the effect of, he's a good college player. He's not going to play in the NBA.
No chance that guy plays in the NBA.
Fast forward.
Small white point guard. No chance that guy makes it.
He's now one of the biggest X factors in the NBA finals. And so I would like to publicly apologize. He is absolutely the prototypical white guy that you really hate when he's not on your team.
Yep.
But you know it because he does all the things that a good player that's a role guy does.
That a gym rat would do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like stealing an inbounds pass and getting an easy layup.
And then
when you're
the
not
story.
Paying attention.
You hear the story. His dad used to coach him hard, and then they pan to his dad, prototypical big white guy,
yelling.
Buzz cut. You can just imagine. He probably threw a chair at his kid at one
play
point.
Play some defense!
Damn it, TJ! Sprint! But you're like, oh, dude, he's been playing for 4 hours. Yeah. I think he's exhausted.
But when you're 5'9",
you got to do what
that's
you got to do.
The only way you're going to ever get a sniff.
You got to be Rudy. You got to be the pain in the ass, man. That's all you got. You got to work your ass off.
The crazy thing is, I think he's 6'2".
Is he really?
Mm.
I'm not believing
Isn't he listed
that.
At 6'2"?
Maybe. Let's go back and look at his combine measurements.
Go look at the combine measurements of McConnell, because I thought I heard Doris Burke was like, he's 6'2", and I was like,
I don't feel like he's 6'2".
I remember him being here and standing kind of near him and going, he's about my height.
ESPN says 6'1".
Yeah, so yeah, 6'6", 6'1".
Yeah, he's listed at 6'1", 190, okay. So he's probably 5'11".
Probably 5'11". The basketball shoes give him that extra oomph. But he was impressive. Him and Mathurin off the bench. And I'm just going to say this. I know.
Yeah, height without shoes, he's just under 6'1".
It is basically
just a hair over 6 foot.
It is easy to say this. I had a listener reach out and say, I don't usually dive into these things until way too late, but Jalen Williams was drafted 12th. Shaedon Sharpe was 7th. And I went, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I remember the Amen Thompson Scoot thing, and I'm not going to blame the Blazers. Everybody and their mom wanted Scoot, so I'm not going to blame them.
Back-to-back years, you could add Jalen Williams and Amen Thompson.
But I'm going to throw one at you.
How different do you feel right now if you draft those two guys?
I mean, you have Amen Thompson and Jalen Williams. I think your circumstances.
With Kamara and Denny Avdia. And can still be here at that point because you didn't use back-to-back top 10 picks on guards.
Also, your defense is better, so yeah, let Anthony Simons cook, and who cares if he gets beat on defense a little
bit. That's not even that. Like, people will do that with, like, a Jokic or a Jan. Like, Giannis was an absolute flyer. Jokic was a Quesarito second-round pick.
Jokic was the biggest of flyers.
Amen Thompson was literally the pick after Scoot, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And the Shaedon Sharpe draft sucked. Like, I remember that being a thing. So this idea we can't criticize them for that. Like, you took a flyer on a guy who had barely played basketball with the 7th overall pick.
Well, we also worked out in that draft Jalen Duren. Remember that?
I do remember that.
He was drafted after Jalen Williams.
He was.
So the idea that Jalen Williams was just, oh, who saw that?
Yeah.
I mean, we were looking at guys after Jalen Williams.
We were.
Anyways, that being said, the one that does hurt me, and I know he has his moments where you're like, what are you doing? I remember having the immediate thought when the Pacers traded 2 second-round picks for ain't no stopping, Obi Toppin.
He had a sick putback dunk last night.
Dude, Obi Toppin is a good basketball player.
Yep.
I know he makes mistakes from time to time. I know he has boneheaded turnovers. But I remember just thinking, like, why? We had, like, 80 second-round picks.
We did. We had a lot of them.
That's all it took. And the Knicks look stupid today because why did you give up on that guy?
With your 6-man rotation, you could have had, you know, a 7-man rotation.
An explosive athlete who's, like, 6'9 and can jump out of the gym.
Yeah,
seems like somebody good.
Willing to give you energy and exert on the defensive end.
Yes.
Sometimes he gets overcommitted and out of position, but he's willing to give you hustle. He'll rebound like a fiend.
I mean, think about game one.
I remember when he was at Dayton. I'm like,
yes,
this guy's amazing.
Threw up all over himself in game one. Still recovered in that game. Ended up coming up with big three-point shot. I remember telling Meringue on the pod, why didn't we even make an effort? We have all these second-round picks. Like, we could have given the Knicks 3 and gotten Obi Toppin, and he would have been a nice rotational player. And, you know, no big deal. Who cares? Well, here we are in the NBA Finals, and that dude matters a lot. And I'm just like, damn it.
Didn't we get, like, 17 second-round picks for Gary
I think
Payton
we got 5.
The second?
we got, like, 5
second-round
picks. Every
Warrior second-round pick for the rest of their franchise's history for that trade. We got all of them just laying around in a bag. Use some of them. Go do something, man.
So it's like, I continue to come back, and listeners have thrown things at me of, like, there's a little bit of Portland all over this where I'm like, damn it.
I mean, look, it's such a hindsight argument, and I get it, and people will try to immediately poke holes in it. Not the Obi Toppin one, but, you know, drafting other players
the
other
Scoot
than Shaedon
one,
and Scoot.
I totally understand.
I just, this is, and you texted it last night, a lot of it is included with luck. Like,
yes.
You're just taking a roll of the dice. Nobody has any clue. It's like drafting a quarterback in the NFL, right? What's going to make Jaden Daniels become a future All-Pro? He's not even the number one overall pick. People worried about his size, right? But he has it, and all of a sudden you feel like you have your franchise quarterback, so there's definitely a hair of luck involved in that. But also, this is what the difference is hitting on those picks. And I'm not saying they've whiffed on either Shaedon nor Scoot. We don't know. Scoot's only been in the NBA for 2 years. Shaedon's only been in for 3 years. But you're extension eligible with Shaedon this offseason. I think we're all in agreement. I don't know if I would give him the deal unless he gives you a super team-friendly contract, but I don't think he's going to do that. So now he's going to go into his restricted free agent year without a contract extension. Like, this is what keeps you from being, hey, good little team, good little player, to, oh my God, we've actually ascended and taken a massive step. And yes, a lot of luck is involved, but making sure you hit on those picks when you get your opportunities is a big part of it.
We'll get into the finals. We'll talk about the game itself coming up at the top of the hour, but it is Magic Hat time. So let's get to that next on The Fan. All right, let's get to the Magic Hat.
It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby! That's what I've been waiting for!
bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics, and we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus Pocus, where are you?
Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, welcome back. It is magic hat time. It's crazy to say this out loud, but man, I guess golf can be on the television from start to finish.
Pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It's weird.
It's on all day. U.S. Open, baby. You just got to find the USA Network for the U.S. Open.
Yeah, you don't need a Masters app to watch like half of the first round.
How dare you disparage the greatest app that's ever been created.
At 2 p.m. Pacific, I believe it goes to Peacock.
Yeah.
To finish it up.
They wrap up on it.
Well, I spoke too soon, didn't I?
But see, none of this stuff affects me because I have Peacock, so I don't even think about it.
I got rid of it. 3:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. uninterrupted coverage on USA.
Okay, there you go.
I got to watch stupid duck basketball games on Peacock and occasional football games.
So I'm going to have to get it. I'm definitely going to have to get it soon because the NFL and the Big Ten and...
Yeah, they're going that direction. Yeah, don't we have our first NFL Peacock? Or they already did that for the playoffs a couple years ago. That's right.
The Chiefs-Dolphins game. All right, we've delayed enough.
Is the first one a public apology from the Magic Hat?
For the
Crow comments from 2 weeks ago that came out of the hat on the Seattle Mariners, who last time I checked are now below 500. Is there a public apology in there from the hat?
I don't know.
I'm just asking questions out loud. You know?
Okay.
I'm wondering.
You really want that apology on that Crow?
I do. That was a Crow. You made me. You tried to make
I didn't
me
make Crow. It was asking.
The Magic Hat tried to spit out some Crow at me in mid-May.
Be mad at the hat, not me.
In a 162 game season, when they're like 31-27, are you eating Crow? The Mariners are great. Give it a week.
Suarez with the bases loaded might be the most dangerous man in the world.
Well, we'll get to that later.
All right.
Who's your Rushmore?
Okay, so
Jokic.
Very quickly, I know we did Rushmore when you were gone with Nemec, and that just became a disaster.
Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, right. Somebody said that. Is he on the Rushmore? He's like, top 10. I got carried away. Anyways, Scotty is the easiest bet to make in every major. Scotty Scheffler is doing something in golf that is rarely seen.
We haven't seen somebody be consistently this big a favorite since Tiger.
And he's on a run right now. And so if you bet Scotty, like, that's a no-brainer bet. Everybody should bet Scotty, whether it's a full unit, half unit, what have you, okay? We all know that. Scotty might win the U.S. Open. If Scotty Scheffler wins, it's going to be a big deal, but it also won't be. You know why? Scotty Scheffler is boring. There is nothing interesting about Scottie Scheffler. It wasn't even interesting when he got arrested. He was boring being arrested. All right? Who is the Mount Rushmore of most boring, successful athletes? The most boring,
at least publicly,
but the best.
They're public, how they interact with fans and the public and media, right?
Sure. Do you have somebody that's privately not boring?
I guess I don't know what most of these people are like privately.
I don't either.
I mean, that's the thing. We don't
Are you
know.
Best friends with Tim Duncan?
Well, I was going to say, Tim Duncan's on that.
I mean, he's the most obvious answer.
I think Duncan's definitely on this list.
Yes.
He was far and away, for his career, like, grossly underrated.
Yeah.
When people do lists, top 10 lists, like, it's actually offensive how many people put Kobe ahead of him.
Is he showing up in your top 10s?
Yeah, we'll wait and talk about that. Five NBA championships. I mean, come on. So Duncan is one.
Duncan's definitely one.
Now, we did say this on the Nemec show, like, four being Rushmore is stupid.
It's kind of dumb.
Nobody debates top four. Give me five heads on that mountain.
Sure. I want three or five. Give me an odd number.
That's what I said.
Yeah, three or five's better.
So Duncan's one. Who's a second? All-time great, but really kind of boring.
I mean, if he wins this weekend, I know people might laugh at that comment. Scottie Scheffler's going to be on this list. He would have his fourth major, and you can find him as boring as you want. He is the biggest favorite in a U.S. Open since Tiger in 2009.
He's dominant for sure.
He is the best player on the planet. He has been for basically the last 3 years. He has already accumulated three majors. This would be the third leg of the career Grand Slam. It would be back-to-back majors for him.
Yep.
He would have a chance to win a third in a row at the Open Championship at the end of August or the middle of August, whenever it is. Like, he would be on that list. He might already be on that list.
Now, here's the thing. He's definitely in the running. How do you classify boring? by just how they talk or also their style of play. Because Tiger, very boring away from golf. But when playing, very emotional, animated, competitive guy.
Well, he wasn't boring away from golf until we found out what he was doing. You know, when he was found out he was sleeping with waitresses at a restaurant,
the
getting
sex
a seven
scandal,
iron in his driving.
There was
window.
Nothing about Tiger Woods that was. It was like, oh, did you see him on Oprah? He classified his race as some made up word.
He did. Blazion? Didn't he call himself Blazion?
No, he called himself. It was like three races in one. I remember seeing it. And I'm like, what was that word?
He didn't go Blazion on you. Yeah, I don't know if I would put Tiger in there because of the commercials and because of the pizzazz that he played with. I never found him, but the fist pumping, the strutting and pointing after putts.
I'll give you one, and we brought him up just randomly yesterday because you thought he was faster than Randy Moss. Jerry Rice is my GOAT.
Jerry Rice is pretty boring.
He was just amazing, but like never really said anything.
No.
Yeah, this is a hard one to do off the cuff. Like, think of all-time boring athletes.
Who are all-time great, though.
Yeah, who are also all-time great.
Does Tom Brady fit into this category?
I tend to think he's worthy of being in this conversation as well. He says nothing. He doesn't eat strawberries.
Now, I know we were fascinated with his off, you know.
He dated hot chicks. That's what we were fascinated with. He never did anything.
Mouth kissed his sons. That was kind of weird.
And the owner.
And the owner.
The owner one, it's like,
dude, he was making out with everybody. Stop kissing people, Tom.
Why do you think Bill got so mad at him? We need to break up.
Now that I have a son, I'm like, that's just weird. That's really weird.
Do you kiss
me.
Your son on the mouth?
I do not.
Really?
No.
He's a baby.
I don't know. It just feels weird. I don't do it. Forehead kisses, cheek kisses. I'll give him all those smoochies on the tummy. But no, kissing him on the lips just feels weird.
You talk to a therapist. He's a baby, man.
He's also not that into kissing. We're trying to get him to like, give me a kiss on the cheek. And he doesn't want anything to do
with it. He's like, get out of here.
Does Aaron Judge fall into this category?
Aaron Judge is a good one.
Aaron Judge is pretty good.
He had a moonshot last night in Kansas City. Passon said it was 470 feet. he's good, but I don't know anything about Aaron Judge. He doesn't say anything.
Kawhi Leonard getting texted in.
That's a great one.
Kawhi Leonard's pretty good. Evander Holyfield getting texted
in. There you go. There's a very good one off the beaten path.
That's pretty solid.
See, it's a kind of a fun game to play of who would be a Rushmore of best, most boring athletes be. Like, I think Scottie Scheffler wins this weekend. He's definitely going to put himself in the category because I think we'll talk about it, but it won't get near enough the coverage.
Well, here's
of the
thing.
Jack Nicklaus will fall into this. Jack was just good.
The problem was the coverage wasn't as substantial
it's hard
as it
to know.
Is now.
Yeah, back at.
Here's
back
what I'll then. Say. Like, I get the Scottie Scheffler boring stuff, and maybe this is me being in my own sniffing my farts golf bubble. I don't find him boring. I find the way that he's won his three majors boring because he hasn't had any that have come down to like. Yeah. You got to make a birdie on 18 in order to win.
No, and he lapped the field.
He's blowing everybody out when he wins them, and so I think that's part of the conversation or lack thereof after he wins is that we don't talk about it a ton because it wasn't a super entertaining tournament.
But that's how Jack won as opposed to Arnold Palmer.
Like,
who...
there's no doubt. Like, if he won the tournament this weekend similar to the way Rory won the Masters, and it's like back, oh, my God, is he going to do it? Oh, he blew it. Oh, my God, he's going to win. Okay, now we're going to a playoff. He birdied the playoff. Yeah. Oh, like, I think you're getting a much bigger conversation. If he wins the U.S. Open this weekend and he wins it by five strokes and basically by the seventh hole on Sunday, we know he's going to win. It'll be a smaller footnote of, damn, he's dominant. He maybe is the best golfer since Tiger, and let's move on.
I think the problem I have, though, is if he wins it like Rory won the Masters, I'm not going to have that TV moment the way I had it with Rory. And I know that the Grand Slam is different than winning another major.
Sure,
the emotions
involved for Scotty
but
will not be the same.
Yeah, he's even if it's comes down to a putt, he's going to fist pump, and then he's going to hug his caddy, and he's going to walk with his wife, and then he'll just have like a G-golly Willikers face and walk to the podium, and I won't remember anything he said in the post. Versus like Rory will say stuff, and he becomes a little polarizing. He'll cry. He'll walk for 5 minutes and just keep me captivated of nothing. Scotty doesn't have that. Scotty doesn't know.
Oh.
Scotty doesn't know.
Anti-Scotty.
No, I just think Scotty is Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
And I think you are me from like 2010,
that's probably
12-ish.
True.
Like,
probably true.
He's boring. I don't care. But it's like, dude, he's got five champions.
Because I listen to a lot of his press conferences. I know I'm a nerd, and I don't find him boring at all.
Yeah.
I don't like when you listen to him talk and give like a 20-minute press conference. I'm not bored.
But are you in your own fart bubble here? Is this basically what my Duncan-esque stuff
was?
He's a superstar. No, he's not. He doesn't do anything interesting.
Yeah, he's not as captivating as Rory, I guess, or he's not going to say as controversial a thing.
Or Bryson.
I don't find Rory that controversial either.
He is, though. Yeah, but
there's people that don't like Rory McIlroy, or they find his, like, I don't talk to the media if I'm having a bad round stuff.
They
hate that stuff.
Yeah, I find the Rory thing to be more of a LeBron kind of comparison, where he was put on a pedestal early, and then we enjoyed him not winning, and that made him a lightning rod for criticism or praise. And
but he also was outspoken on Liv.
He was, and so was Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler just gave a quote literally last week, and he was asked the reunification of the tours, and he was like, what the hell are you asking me for? Go ask them. They all left. Like, that's a pretty newsworthy quote.
Nobody saw it.
That nobody saw because you're not watching. So it's my whole point is he's not that boring if you watch. Yeah. He's not the most flamboyant personality. He's a big Team Jesus guy. He's not going to be out there in your face. Like, he's not doing that kind of stuff. But I think if you listen to his interviews, you'll find that he's not as boring as you think he is.
Be Ned Flanders. Just, like, create a character for yourself with the religion.
I mean, if he wins this weekend, man, it's unbelievable.
More Magic Cat, because we only got to one of those things. Next on The Fan.
Something. Now you see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, let's keep it going. The Magic Hat rolls on. We got caught up in the Mount Rushmore. I thought that would happen. Wayne Gretzky, also a very good one being sent in. Just
Larry Fitzgerald showing up.
Ooh.
He's pretty boring.
What is he most known for?
His big ass.
Fat ass.
Big old cheeks.
And good hands, no drops. Right.
Well, yeah. The Magic Hat not offering an apology yet to Dirt, but kudos. Sprague was right. What a genius.
Oh, my God. What a compliment by the Magic Hat. It's crazy.
I hate this segment now. It's just stupid.
I know you guys saw the news, or maybe you didn't. Browns officially got the news that the Ohio Senate passed a $600 million budget for the Browns' new domed stadium. Get rid of outdoor football.
What
Nobody
were you right
wants.
About?
I told you to dome it up, and the Cleveland Browns heard the segment. They're like, he's right. Our quarterback sucks in the snow. Nobody wants to watch 13-10 so they can see snowflakes.
Who is the Browns quarterback? I think he sucks in all conditions right now.
Maybe
so
there's
know.
More Magic Cat on that
thing.
Topic.
I don't know. That's a weather thing. Yeah, I mean, this is going to happen because they want to host a Final Four. I don't think it has anything to do with football.
You can think Browns, whatever you think. It's a dome stadium.
The Browns have no postseason aspirations anytime soon.
All right, that's fine.
And they want to host a Final Four and potentially a Super Bowl. They could get both.
Hey, use whatever excuses you want. I ended up being right. More cold weather teams. Put a dome on it. I don't want to be in that snow. What else, Magic Hat? Tell me.
All right.
What else was I right on?
What does it look?
What?
I can't read your writing.
I didn't write it.
It's phenomenal radio.
Who does it look worse for?
That's crazy.
Oh, there you go.
That wasn't that hard to read. these two are interesting to me.
Okay.
Who looks worse today? The New York Knicks, who fired the most successful coach they've had in 25 years, got them to the doorstep of a conference finals, might have lost to the eventual NBA champion, by the way, and then instantly have been told no by every organization that they cannot interview some other team's coach. And so they go from they have a guy to, no, they just fired this guy and they had ideas and none of those ideas have been granted approval. Or the Cincinnati Bengals squandering their best pass rusher. And reportedly today, Shamar Stewart, their first-round draft pick edge rusher, has left the camp because they can't even reach a rookie agreement contract with him.
Yeah, because the Bengals want contract language. If they cut him before his rookie deal's up, they want a piece of his signing bonus.
Yes, so, of course they do.
The only teams.
Which they didn't ask the first-round pick who they drafted last year, Mims, to sign, and Stewart was a higher draft pick than Mims was.
So who looks worse today, the Knicks
Bengals.
Or the Bengals?
Oh, I'm going to go Knicks here.
And I think Dirt's right, despite how stupid this looks for Cincinnati.
Yeah, look, it's horrible for both, right? Both answers are probably right, because it's a horrible look for both of them. I don't know. Part of me just, this is Cincinnati, so it's not a big story to me because it's what Cincinnati does with basically everybody.
He left camp today, though.
Yeah, he's just gone. Yeah, I get it, but they're doing it with their edge rusher. They're not even communicating with Hendrickson. He's been very vocal in public. They did it with Jamar Chase last offseason when everybody said, hey, it's going to cost you a lot of money to sign this guy. If you wait another year, it's only going to cost you more money. Maybe you get the contract done now. Instead, he's out and then comes into the season. I know he still had an unbelievable year. They do this a lot. The Knicks had finally felt like they figured things out.
Like, Dolan's out of the way. You're in the conference finals. Like, oh, my God, the Knicks are going in the right direction. When you think back to the coaches they've had over the last 20 years, Larry Brown, Isaiah Thomas, they had D'Antoni for a minute, then to Mike Woodson, then to Derek Fisher. Remember when they hired Derek Fisher?
Jeff Hornacek.
Jeff Hornacek, David Fizdale, and then Tom Thibodeau was hired in 2020. And he's done essentially nothing but take them to the playoffs basically every year. He's had more success than anybody. So firing him already makes them dumber than the Bengals. And then the thought that you're going to be able to why would any of these teams let you interview their coach?
Well, you said a good point, and we don't have time to get into it. Something we can holster. College football teams should be doing this.
They absolutely should.
Like, you should be able, you like, should
no,
have to reach out.
No, he's on our contract. You can't talk to him, no.
Hey, we'd love to talk to Dan Lanning. Rob Mullen's online, too. Piss off.
Yeah, pound sand.
No.
Give me $5 million, and you can have a have a meeting with him. But without that, you're not talking to him.
No, that's a buyout. Hey, you're getting back into buyout territory. It should be a yes or no. No.
Just
you're
even communicate. Yeah, I just, why the Knicks thought that they would have the ability to hire away, or why any of these organizations would let them talk to their head coach, I don't understand.
They're going to get an assistant that we haven't heard of, and we'll be told he's an amazing assistant.
Or go hire Malone, or who was the cat who got Jenkins who got fired
Mike
in
Malone
Memphis?
Malone is just a different version of Tom Thibodeau, though.
Yeah, well, that's why you shouldn't have fired Tom Thibodeau in the first place.
But he's won a title.
Yeah.
He has won a title.
There's a lot more in that Magic Hat. Those we can holster. The ones that are left over, I think we can holster those for next week's Magic Hat. We got a loaded second hour of the program. We got ourselves a finals, gentlemen. We'll start there. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.